Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Ah, here we go on a Wednesday. It's a Red Bull, a Diet Red Bull Wednesday. I'm all ready to go live in Los Angeles. This is the Herd, wherever you may be and however you may be listening. We're on Fox Sports Radio, iHeartRadio, and FS1. You know, Joy, I often think of us as a smaller version of the New York Times and Washington Post. We are a hub of journalism.
Course.
Yes. We've got some things today I need to...
If you want complete unbiased...
Opinions.
Opinion.
Honesty
well,
brokers.
Unbiased opinion. Yeah. Unbiased information and facts.
Yeah. We do. Laced with occasional opinions.
Big J journalism.
I don't know why I'm in a good mood this morning.
Red Bull will do that.
Yeah, it does. Kind of changes everything. Yeah. When we talked about, you know, what was the story yesterday? We talked about good medication solves everything. Just like good.
Oh, the injuries. Yeah, meds.
Meds solve everything.
Yeah, yeah.
And Jersey Mike subs solve everything.
Yes.
A sub above. It's Jersey Mike's Wednesday.
Jersey Mike's
it's Jersey Mike's
day. It's Jersey Mike's day.
Let's start with this. No NFL team, none, has been more pro player than the LA Rams. I mean, they don't use pads during the season. They barely practice. That's why guys like Andrew Whitworth, who have money, he'll be a Hall of Famer, he keeps coming back. Not that it's a country club, but it's very pro-player. Even when the player is a little difficult, like Todd Gurley, Joy and I watched for a year. Oh, everything's great. It's our problem. Suddenly, they are ripping quiet, introverted Jared Goff publicly. Sean McVay, the head coach, Mr. Pro Player, after the Packer loss, in which Goff was not terrible, 21 to 27, passer rating in the hundreds. He said, yeah, he's our quarterback right now. Les Snead asked yesterday, the GM, about quiet, non-controversial Jared Goff, said this.
What I can say is Jared Goff's a Ram in this moment. And I said, it's way too early to speculate. The future, that's a beautiful mystery. Moving on from Jared Goff, that's the money we've invested in him. That's not easy to overcome. Anything can be done in a cap-based system.
What? Anything can be overdone. He's our quarterback. At this moment, then they drop the Aaron Rodgers subtle hint, we like Aaron. It's a beautiful mystery. What are they doing? Well, clearly Snead and Sean McVay made a decision several weeks ago privately, this is called Big J journalism, to have a plan of attack, obviously. Now, why would they do this? Now, Washington did the same to Dwayne Haskins, but we later found out he wasn't putting in the work. It was justified. Philadelphia has done this to Carson Wentz, bashed him publicly. We later find out he's not terribly coachable. Green Bay's leaked some stuff through the years to take shots at Aaron. He's a little bit of a blamer. He can be arrogant and condescending. But Goff is quiet, meek, non-controversial. Teammates like him. Why would they do this? Here's my guess. The contract's really hurting the Rams. It's not killing them, but it's hurting them. And they called Goff's agent, and they said, we did you a solid. We paid you early. Let's redo the contract. And the agent said, two words, pound sand. And now they're trapped. They can't cut him. It would cost them $65 million. Goff has a market. If they don't cut him. In fact, if they cut him after July, the cap hit's really not that big of an issue. And he's not a terrible quarterback. He just beat Seattle with a broken thumb in the playoffs. He wasn't terrible against the Rams. So why would they publicly rip Jared Goff. Two pro player guys. This is what happens when your career is tied to a quarterback. Les Snead's career is tied to a quarterback. There are no better jobs than GM of the Rams. Stan Kroenke's the current richest NFL owner. You get to live in L.A. on the beach. There's no better job, frankly, than the L.A. Rams. Stan Kroenke's the richest owner. Sean McVay can live on the beach. It's a great, great job. New stadium, richest owner, takes care of everybody. Great organization. But their careers are tied to that contract. And Les Snead made a call, I'm guessing, on that contract, and the agent won't budge. And this is what you do. You go out, Jared Goff caught in the middle. Goff's not going to just hand back $25 million bucks. His contract's not as bad as people think. But this is why you're seeing here what you're seeing. It makes no sense otherwise. Goff's not uncoachable. Goff's not condescending. Goff's putting in the work. Yet he's being attacked by the GM and the coach. He's our quarterback now. These things, you can get out of them. Uncle Colin just explaining the world of football to all of you. Let me shift gears to this. This made me laugh this morning. You know, Tom Brady once joked about his dad, sometimes I have to call dad and say, Dad, don't talk to radio stations. So Tom Brady Sr. was talking about the New England Patriots. And he went out and he talked about how close Robert Kraft, the owner of the Patriots, is to his son Tom, called him this past weekend to congratulate him. Belichick still hasn't. But when he talked about Belichick, Tom Brady Sr., and you just know Tom Brady's wincing about this, he said, well, I'm guessing Bill's on a little bit of a hot seat right now. Oh, excuse me, Dad, stop talking. So first of all, Robert Kraft called Brady to congratulate him. Belichick didn't. Robert Kraft's a billionaire. He's 80. He's not a patient man, and he's not going to rebuild. I want you to hear me out on something. Joy will be impressed with this. When Justin Timberlake left NSYNC, Justin Timberlake flourished. NSYNC became irrelevant. When Beyoncé left Destiny's Child, Beyoncé became a bigger star. Destiny's Child, not as newsworthy. Is that what we're looking at here? That Bill Belichick is Joey Fatone or Lance Bass with a hoodie? Is that what we're looking at here? Now, maybe it's the Beatles, where John Lennon and Paul McCartney both left, and they both had success, but it did take McCartney, Belichick, longer. But right now, in the 8 years without Tom Brady, Belichick has had six losing seasons, and in the seventh, he didn't make the playoffs. That's Lance Bass with a whistle. That's Joey Fatone with a hoodie. Tom Brady's one season without Belichick is very Timberlake, is very Beyonce. He's in the Super Bowl. At this point, you can't deny it. It's always felt like in the last, especially last 7 to 8 years, that Bill Belichick's armor is impenetrable. He is the best coach there is. You can't argue this. But I'm going to throw a hypothetical at you. Belichick, 8 years without Brady, six losing years, one couldn't make the playoffs. If Andy Reid wins Sunday, and after that wins, I don't know, in 10 years with Mahomes, two, three more Super Bowls, do we view Belichick as the best coach ever? Hear me out. Andy Reid will have won five NFC championships without Mahomes. Andy Reid will have gotten to a Super Bowl without Mahomes. Andy Reid will have won with five, six different quarterbacks. Belichick's won with one. Andy Reid has given more than any coach Belichick trouble. Andy Reid, not Belichick, is the best off a bye. Andy Reid, once he got his great quarterback, Belichick couldn't compete in his final years. Andy Reid is the one guy left in this sport that can penetrate the impenetrable Belichick shield as the best coach ever. Ask yourself. Beyonce flourished. Timberlake flourished. We don't talk Destiny's Child. We don't talk NSYNC. We're going to be talking Belichick in 10 years if he coaches four more years and this is what it is. Mac Jones leading the attack. And Andy Reid winning Super Bowl after Super Bowl after Super Bowl. Just something to think about. That story may not be written. Best coach in football. We thought it was over with Lombardi. Oh wait, it's Knowles the best coach. Oh, wait, it's Bill Walsh is the best coach. No, it's Belichick is the best coach ever. Andy Reid is 62, is still the most clever coach in the league, and he ain't leaving. You're going to have to pull him out of that city with Mahomes. 8-10 years left. He knocks 4 or 5 Super Bowls down, 1 in 2 Sundays. Is he the greatest ever? Just a thought. Lance Bass with a hoodie. I always love our graphics department. Joey Fatone with a whistle. Coming up next, is it possible? You know when you're married, you have somebody to lean on? You come home, bad day, you got somebody to lean on? Or if you have older kids, somebody to lean on? Or you're close with your brother, your sister, you got somebody to lean on? What if you don't? Then who do you talk to? Who do you voice your frustrations to? Thoughts about that coming up with a star athlete in America.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Tommy John is fantastic. Men across America love the underwear. Keeps everything in place. Go to TommyJohn.com/Herd, 15% off your first order. It's great to be here. Nick Wright coming up today. Joy Taylor is joining me. So psychologists and therapists agree that sometimes you shouldn't bottle stuff up. Got to have people you can talk to and express your frustration. It's a real thing. My wife is my sounding board. The dogs don't talk. My son doesn't want to hear it. My daughter's pretty good. Sometimes I complain to Joy. But you got to have a sounding board. Everybody needs a sounding board. In fact, I have joked for years with my agent. I have one of those. So does Joy. We sort of have to. If you watch people that are very dramatic in our business, they're often single and no kids. And they go home and they're the sun in their orbit. Very interesting situation in Green Bay. Aaron Rodgers is now backtracking a little. I don't know if I'd call it that specifically, but it reminds me of kind of a cartoon. You know, the cartoon where somebody lights a fuse and it slowly gets close to the dynamite and everybody tries to put it out before it gets to the dynamite. And boom, boom, kaboom. And Aaron Rodgers, after the game, lights a fuse with some comments and it's getting close to the dynamite. Now everybody, the GM and the CEO and Aaron Rodgers are trying to put it out before it explodes into something. Here was Aaron Rodgers on Pat McAfee's show yesterday.
Now, obviously, after the season that I had and, potentially win an MVP, and, you know, we obviously made it another good run. I don't think that there's any reason why I wouldn't be back. But, look, I think there's not many absolutes, as you guys know, in this business. So to make an absolute statement about something that is not an absolute, it's just I didn't do it, you know, and I guess that's why I went kind of nuts.
I don't think he was nuts. I think he needs a sounding board. Listen, star quarterbacks, words have power. This is why Russell Wilson, despite the fact, and I can tell you this from knowledge, he's very frustrated. But when you ask him about it, he says nice things about Pete Carroll, followed by, go Hawks. It's why Tom Brady has spent 20 years boring us, and before that, Eli Manning spent 15 years doing the same. Star quarterbacks, words have power. But Russell Wilson and Eli Manning and Tom Brady can lean on people at home as sounding boards. They have tight-knit families, maybe adult children. Aaron's single in the smallest town in American sports. He's got no kids. From what I read, not particularly close with his family. Is it possible we are Aaron's sounding board? The media. It's not healthy to bottle this stuff up. Where's Aaron supposed to go? Yes, I'm defending Aaron Rodgers today. Where do you go? I go to my wife. My daughter's in her 20s. You got to go somewhere if you're frustrated. Where do you go? Aaron's a smart guy. He's the sun in his orbit, as all of us are when we're not married, single, not sure if he has pets, not particularly from what I read tight with his family. Got to go somewhere. Got to express frustration somewhere. I don't think Aaron was nuts. Maybe he was just, as he always says he is, human. Joy Taylor with the news.
No.
Turn on the news.
This is the Herd Line News.
Well, I'm single with no kids, but I would suggest a really strong group chat, Aaron.
Well, also, I would say you have a very, you have very strong relationships inside your family.
Yeah, yes. That's, but on a day-to-day basis, like if I'm frustrated, I vent in the group chat. It's very, very helpful. I do go to my family for the bigger decisions. So Matthew Stafford and the Lions agreed to part ways this offseason, and teams have reportedly already started reaching out to Detroit about what it would take to acquire him. Mm-hmm. Lions are said to be looking for fair market value for Stafford.
What is fair market value? Second round pick?
I don't know. He's the franchise leader in every major passing category.
That's Detroit. I mean, like what's... I'm going to ask you. Your GM, but what would you give up?
It depends on the team. So, like, if I'm the Colts, I would be willing to part ways with a first round pick.
That's
for Matt
fair. That feels to me a first round pick for Matt Stafford feels very fair. Well, and if you could throw in, since you have a lot of good players and we don't have any, a first round pick and give us a starter somewhere for Matt Stafford. That feels fair. Colts have
a first round pick and a starter, and you know, maybe another player or later round pick feels fair.
Yeah,
I know people are going to feel like that sounds dramatic and like a lot, but he's a franchise quarterback, and the Colts need that. I mean, you saw what Phillip Rivers was doing, throwing the ball like this in the playoffs. Like, and I don't know where the Colts would be right now if they had a mobile quarterback and someone who could actually push the ball down the
field. Listen. If I'm Chris Ballard and I get Matt Stafford an upgraded quarterback, I've got to give up more than a first-round pick. If I'm Detroit and I'm like, he's even kind of cost-efficient at this point. It's not an egregious contract. I'm giving you a starter. I'm giving you a guy that could win a Super Bowl with.
Detroit has what, the ninth pick right now? Where are they?
I think if I'm Detroit, I want Indianapolis's first round pick and up some starter.
They have a seventh pick in the draft.
So that Detroit will get, they're going to take a quarterback with that. So Detroit's going to take a quarterback with a seventh pick.
So get another first round pick from the Colts.
And another first round pick from the Colts. And give me a player. It could be a right guard. Not Quentin Nelson, but give me a guard. Give me your second corner. Give me a starter for my team.
See, so for them, I feel like that's worth it because they are ready to win right now. Say someone like
Detroit would have two first round picks and a starting player. A lot of cap space now.
You know, the thing about Stafford is I'm really so like we know Detroit is in a complete and utter rebuild, right? They're starting over again. I'm sorry to Lions fans, and I don't know how this is gonna go. I don't really have high hopes if I'm being honest, but we'll see. I am so interested to see what Stafford does with another team.
Yeah,
because we're constantly talking about Stafford like he just can't quite reach his potential in Detroit. Is it the organization? Have they not been able to put pieces around him? He doesn't really have that signature win. But he's in his 12th season. Age doesn't even matter in the NFL anymore.
Right.
He can certainly pass the ball. He has 2 years remaining on his contract. I just want to see what he does somewhere else.
Yeah, so do I. This is NBA stuff. Harden with KD. I watched the first three games. I want to see how it works. You can tell very early. KD and Harden works. You can win the East with those two if you get some defense. Stafford with New England. You'll be able to tell by the end of September. This is something.
See, Stafford in New England, I don't know because that's... albeit obviously a more than functional organization and wouldn't compare that to what's been going on in Detroit, but they don't have any pieces.
Right.
So him going somewhere like even Washington or the Colts.
Ask yourself this. New England gets Kyle Pitts, the tight end from Florida, and Stafford. Now all of a sudden you're like, okay, that's interesting. big upgrade at quarterback, a throwing quarterback in a pocket system, a star tight end, like the best tight end in college I've seen in years.
And I feel like that would be it's definitely an upgrade from what they have this year, but yeah. The AFC East is different now.
It is.
It's a different world. So the Chiefs were missing Le'Veon Bell out with a knee injury and Sammy Watkins out with a calf injury in the AFC title game. The Bucs were also without their two top players Sunday. Antonio Brown missed the game with a knee injury and Antoine Winfield Jr. sat out with an ankle injury. All four are expected to be back and be ready to play in the Super Bowl. The Bucs' other starting safety, Jordan Whitehead, left Sunday's win with a shoulder injury. He had an MRI on Monday, but it's too soon to tell if he will be able to play in the Super Bowl.
Isn't this amazing, Joy? 17 weeks, 16 games, playoff games. Each team will be missing maybe once, maybe. Well, I mean, Kansas City's going to be missing two offensive linemen and maybe a safety. So of all the 90 players on these rosters, you got a couple serious injuries. I've said this before, not only getting through COVID, but the NFL has done a really good job in the last 4 or 5 years in safety measures.
Yeah.
You don't see the egregious hits anymore. If you start looking at all these teams down the stretch, now Seattle fell apart last year at running back. But by and large, almost all of them were missing maybe a starter and had another one that was a game time decision. It's real. The league.
Well, I think the league rehab teams are kind of realizing, like, once you get a couple years in the league and you don't need to learn how to play your position, you don't have to push them as hard.
That's right. Lighten up.
Yeah. Medical advancements, obviously, getting guys back out there. I mean, the fact that Patrick Mahomes was able to look like he did with his injury on top of coming out of concussion protocol was remarkable.
Yeah.
So it'll be a nice 2 weeks off for both these teams. And to your point, we're really lucky that they're mostly healthy. So we'll get a pretty solid game from both sides. So the Seahawks are hiring Rams passing game coordinator Shane Waldron to be their new offensive coordinator. He spent the last four seasons with the Rams after following Sean McVay to LA from Washington. He has 7 years of experience in the league, but has not called plays during his time as an NFL assistant. He's actually, there's a lot of guys leaving the Rams, which is kind of
You do get to a point where this is New England and the Rams, when you have, where do people leave? Andy Reid, Belichick, and McVay. Some of it's just like...
Well, yeah, other organizations see that you're successful there, so they want to take your top assistants, assuming that they are contributing to your success.
That's why the key is in this show to keep Joy Taylor. You're our offensive coordinator. We don't want you bailing on us. I'm the Andy Reid.
I do call plays. it is interesting that they're losing. They've lost, obviously, Brandon Staley to the Chargers. He's expected to take Joe Barry as he's his defensive passing game coordinator and linebackers coach.
How about this? Smart coaches hire good people. That McVay's really smart and he hires really good people, and Andy Reid's really smart and he hires good people.
Yeah, I don't think it's a knock on the Rams. I just think it's
the reality.
Reality, and that's another uphill battle to climb. Like, it all, as you rise, everyone else rises with you, and then you've got to replace assistants, and we've seen that. I mean, New England obviously has done an amazing job with that. To Bill Belichick's credit, you know, we are often critical of his coaching tree. He's provided a lot of opportunities for guys.
Yeah.
Now, whether people hire his assistants assuming that they're going to be Bill Belichick is their own problem. But, you know, Joe Judge and Brian Flores look legit, so the Rams tree just continues to grow.
Yeah, Joy with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Lie News.
I just love the level of journalism on the show today. It's redeemable. Envy of the industry should be.
What are we being journalistic about?
Well, golf and the Snead stuff.
You gotta read through things, you know.
You can't just come out and here's what the newspaper said. Here's my show.
You gotta see the forest through the trees.
You gotta see around the corners. With that, brought to you by Mercedes-Benz, the best for nothing. Nick Wright, first things first. All right, this McVay Snead thing is very interesting. Jared Goff, by all accounts, is understated, quiet. We don't hear him. He never is quoted. And they're both, McVay and Snead, are going after him publicly. I get Carson Wentz. Yeah. We hear he's not coachable. I get Aaron. He can be dismissive and condescending. What do you read into this? Suddenly Jared Goff, at the moment, is our quarterback. It's something, isn't it?
Of course. And I think that Les Snead's done a very good job there. But I think he made one grievous error, and it's the same error that his contemporary in Philadelphia made with the quarterback taken one pick after Jared Goff, which is they paid him too early. There is no rule that says you have to pay your quarterback after year three, but Goff and Wentz both got paid because they had shown flashes. To Goff's credit, he had been to a Super Bowl, so it's like, oh, hey, but that Super Bowl was more about what Sean McVay did, what Offensive Player of the Year Todd Gurley did, and as that team has gotten worse and as they've had to move on from some of those guys, I think Goff has shown to be very limited, and I think they understand what is standing between the Rams and consistently competing for championships is they either need elite quarterback play or they need more money to get playmakers, and right now they're getting mediocre at best quarterback play from a quarterback that is very, very expensive. So, yeah, I don't think McVay or Snead are in love with Goff, and I think that contract is something they regret.
Brady Belichick, I'm not saying it is for sure, but 8 years without Brady, Belichick's got six losing seasons and a seventh with no playoffs. Justin Timberlake left NSYNC and immediately flourished. NSYNC is irrelevant. Is Bill Belichick Lance Bass in a hoodie?
Well, listen, I'm not an NSYNC historian, but I was listening to the opening monologue, and I don't know if you did this on your own or if the ever-valuable and indispensable Joy Taylor got in your ear during the break. I'm glad you are now focusing on the NSYNC thing and you've left Destiny's Child aside, because Kelly Rowland would tell you, I've been a superstar for a decade and Michelle has done great things in the gospel industry while Beyonce's gone on to obviously the greatest living American, Beyonce Knowles Carter. But that's not the point. I do think that Bill Belichick all of a sudden needs to make another Super Bowl. I can't believe I'm saying that. I do think he's the best coach of all time, but when they broke up, I think the expectation was, well, fair or not, Belichick is going to look better a decade from now because Brady, it's not like he's going to win another championship. It's not like he's going to make another Super Bowl, and Belichick's going to have another 10 years to coach if he wants it. But now Brady immediately did make a Super Bowl. I don't think he'll win it, but obviously it's possible. And Belichick's team was not good. And all those things, and we know all the rules, we know all the, we coach our guys not to die for the pylon and we're never penalized. And what we saw is that's great. That gets you about six wins if your quarterback doesn't play well. So I don't think Belichick's legacy is like shaky. But I do think Brady thriving at this level has made it to where that at the very least he needs to make a couple more conference championship games, or there will always be the, yeah, but without Tom, what did we see him do?
No, I think that's fair. So Aaron Rodgers, star quarterback's words are powerful. Little bit of a light the fuse and everybody try to put it out before it blows up now where everybody's backtracking. And I said about 30 minutes ago, or 15 minutes ago, I said, listen, Eli Manning, you know, Tom Brady and Russell Wilson are so boring. But they have a sounding board to go home to if they're frustrated. You and your wife, me and my wife. I can go to my sister. I can go. Aaron's single, got no kids, not particularly from what I read, close with his family. You know, he's a superstar in a tiny, tiny town. I doubt he has a magnificent social circle in Green Bay. You know, I mean, and I think to myself, well, maybe the sounding board is the media. Like, where's he going to go? Like, who's, I mean, if I'm frustrated, it's not healthy to bottle it up. If I didn't have my wife, Joy Taylor would be literally like running from me at down the halls as I'm, Joy, I'm upset with this. Don't we have an argument to be made is Aaron, it's healthier for Aaron to tell everybody what he feels. He didn't have a sounding board at home.
I think that is a very interesting point, and I'm not even necessarily disagreeing with it, but I think in this specific instance, it might be a little more simple than that, because what we did, Aaron goes on with McAfee every week, and they seem to have a great relationship, be legitimate friends, and so you would think he would use that maybe as his media sounding board. You know how much I like Aaron and how much I've defended Aaron. But I think this was a little more calculated than just, I'm just, you know, doing improv here. Because he mentioned Aaron Jones, who is an unrestricted free agent after this year. Lindsley, who's a free agent now. And Mercedes Lewis, who are all free agents. And, like, listen, we don't know any of our futures. But Aaron's obviously not a free agent. In fact, he's got 3 years left on his deal. I think this was Aaron signaling, I want a new contract. Not because he wants more money, but because he wants to be tied to the team longer than just this next year. Because under his current deal, after this year, the upcoming year, the 21 season, they could move on from him, and they have shown that they are considering it by drafting Jordan Love. So I think Aaron was signaling intentionally, guys, I'm about to win league MVP. We could have gone to the Super Bowl. And he mentioned with McAfee. Yeah, and he said it before. Everyone wants to be Dirk. Everyone wants to be Kobe. Everyone wants to have one career with one team. I think he's trying to press a point of leverage a bit, Colin, to try to see if Green Bay will redo or restructure his deal to where it is very painful for them if they want to move off of him, because I don't think he wants to go anywhere.
So I see all these questions I could ask you. I want to go off the script here because we were talking.
No.
We were talking.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
We were talking off the air, and I thought this was interesting. So you were the first person in the American media that I remember about 6-7 years ago that said, LeBron's actually better than Michael. And though you got a ton of pushback early, it is becoming harder and harder to not at least discuss it. You said something during the break to be about Mahomes and Brady. I think it's worthy of public dissemination. Please go ahead.
Okay, so I'll do this quickly because then there is something I need to say to you. All right. Look, if Mahomes wins a week from Sunday, if he loses, it's 7-1 Brady, and that's a very, very hard mountain to climb. But if he wins a week from Sunday, are we potentially just 1 year away from being able to make the argument Patrick Mahomes is already the GOAT? Not that he will be, but that he already is. If he wins a week from Sunday and then they win again next year, would be the first guy, first team, first player, first anything in the NFL to win 3 in a row. He would have one career playoff loss, and it would have come in overtime when he didn't get to touch the ball. All these unbelievable records, eye test, and he would have gone through Tom for a Super Bowl. I do think that if he wins a week from Sunday, not only could the GOAT discussion really open up, but it could be one that he could be trailing Tom, but far closer than Brady fans would like to admit just 54 weeks from now. But, Colin, you did have a long list of questions. You could ask me anything here, all these things. And instead, you went off the board. And I am not, I will not abide. For 4 months, I had to listen to quarterback face bracket. I'm taking Josh Allen. The Bills are at the top of herd hierarchy. The Bills mafia, this, that. I got sprayed in the face, literally and figuratively, with ketchup and mustard because of this, your love for the Bills.
Yeah.
And then my team trounces them, embarrasses them, de-pantses them for 3.5 hours on national television. And you're not going to ask me about it? We're not gonna have that talk? There's nothing? We're going to pretend it didn't happen? We're just going to move on?
Okay, were the Bills pretenders?
Well, I mean, halfway. They were a little pretenders. They were a little pretend, a little make-believe, a little realism. Like when you tell your kid a bedtime story. It's like part of this is real, but part of this is fake. But more importantly, I'm not trying here to crush the Bills and their little small-time crime syndicate. I'm not here for that. They got 3.5 hours of that on Sunday. I'm here to demand Colin Cowherd say, I'm sorry for even entertaining the idea that Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes live in the same zip code, much less down the block from each other. I want an apology. That's what I want on your show.
Well, you come on every Wednesday. Let me consider it, and then I get a week to bake on that. I'll tell you, It was Josh Allen was very good in December. He had a very good month. It's very incredible.
Yeah, Mahomes was resting because they had clinched the one seed. I'll talk to you next week. See you, buddy.
Nick Wright, first things first. That's funny. Coming up next, you know, it's interesting. What we think has value and what we think doesn't in the NFL. Thoughts on that next.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
I think there's a certain mythology to talent. I hear this all the time. Oh, that guy's talented. She's really talented. I hear this in my industry all the time about people. Oh, she is really, he is. Nobody comes out of the womb talented. You got to put time to become Kobe Bryant or Beyonce. She didn't sing like that at 3. She put a lot of time into it. Now, some people may have some more God-given ability. If you're 5'1", you can work really hard and you'll probably never post anybody up in the NBA. Beyonce is also shockingly beautiful, helps sell records, I would imagine, as well, beyond being talented. There is a beauty quotient in the entertainment field. You know, George Clooney, you know, he should be a movie star, not an accountant. But it's funny about what talent gets you. It just keeps getting you opportunities. The sense is, oh, Matt Stafford, he is so talented. Jared Goff, he's part of a system. Jared Goff's dad was a Major League Baseball player, and Jared Goff was a number one pick. He's got talent, too, but it's interesting. Is that the Rams have spent the last couple of weeks taking shots at Jared Goff. They want to redo his contract. There's this sense that Jared Goff has no market. Oh, you got to get rid of Jared Goff. Let me ask you, number one pick, never won fewer than 9 games. Last 4 years, only Brady has more wins. Saw him out-duel Patrick Mahomes on Monday Night Football. He got no talent? Matt Stafford's been in this league 12 years. Name me the signature win. Hell, name me the signature play. Jared Goff's contract doesn't crush teams. Folks, it's $43 million the next 2 years guaranteed. Dak wants 37. You'd have to pay this kid 22. It ain't that bad. And right now we got more teams that need quarterbacks than we have quarterbacks. Jacksonville, Detroit, New England, Colts, Washington need a quarterback. Throw in potentially Houston. Oh, wait. Denver, Chicago, Carolina could draft one. Oh, wait. So could the Jets. I'm not even getting to the Saints and Steelers. We got like 12 teams that need quarterbacks. You don't think Goff at $22 million? Dallas is going to sign Dak for $36 million. It's funny, though. The perception is Stafford is, what a talent. And why doesn't he have a signature win in 12 years? Goff's already been to a Super Bowl, was in the game in the fourth quarter. I've seen him out-duel Patrick Mahomes. He has a signature game. I remember that one. He also outdueled Kirk Cousins that year in one of the craziest best NFL games. He's got signature throws. He's got signature Super Bowl. He's got signature wins. He wins 9 a year. Only Brady's got more. Are we giving McVay all the credit? I mean, didn't McVay get outcoached badly in a Super Bowl? Like, didn't we all say that? You know, Sean McVay can coach. Let's not turn him into Lombardi yet or Bill Walsh. But it is interesting that whenever I hear that talent, at some point, you got to give me something for the talent. I don't want to hear about your talent. How come you haven't, if you're a radio guy? Why don't you win your market? Why don't I see big ratings? Well, he's talented. Yeah, but he loses in afternoons to the station across the street. Well, he's talented, though. Then win ratings. Yeah, he's syndicated guy. He's really talented. Why does he keep losing affiliates? You got to give me something here. I don't want to hear about your talent. So, again, Jared Goff, just this year, this was his bad year. This was his terrible year. Came off the bench with a broken hand to beat Seattle. And then with a broken thumb, went to Green Bay. It was 21 of 27 for a passer rating over 100. He was a number one pick. You don't think he has talent? It's interesting to listen to people. Goff's got no market at $22 million. You kidding me? You don't think he's going to be better than what Detroit's going to get with the number 6 pick if Stafford leaves? You don't think he's better right now than even the good college guys I like? He's not. I don't think he's Trevor Lawrence as a prospect. There's no guarantee Zach Wilson ever wins 9 games a year, gets to a Super Bowl. No guarantee with that. Cremo Barber Shave Cream gives you close, comfortable shave while fighting razor burn. I'm using it now on my robust beard as we speak. Fight the burn. Cremo Barber Shave Cream. Major retailers, Amazon, CremoCompany.com. I just figured this company out not long ago. I just got their stuff. I didn't even know about it. And then they sent me stuff. It's good.
It's part of your skincare routine now.
It is. It's part of it. It's my skincare. I didn't even have a skincare routine. It was called a shower every morning. I didn't even have a routine. Now I got like a Cremo routine. It is Jersey Mike's sub day in your face for those who aren't eating it. Hour two next.